What's going on, guys? Hi. Good morning. Thanks for coming back. We want to welcome back Nika. We haven't seen her in a while. Japan was pretty good for now. It's okay.
My hair just in case.
Just in case. But yeah, welcome back Nika, and we want to welcome back everybody. Let me just get set up over here. Excuse my my appearance. It's been hot, is what it is. Hey, Nico, can we have the lights? Thank you. Yeah. It's been hot. You guys have been okay with the weather? I haven't. It's just been like hot for me. All right. Let's open our Bibles. I only really have 1 point. Nico, can we have four of them?
Yeah.
Thank you. I only really have 1 point on the preaching today. We're going to look at the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We're going to go take a break from, I know we've been getting a lot of our preachings from The Pursuit, and Mark has been walking us through the books of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd. We're going to take a break from that, and I'm going to take a break from walking you through the book of Luke. It's not so much a break, it's more like just a detour a little bit. What Luke and Acts is, if you've been here when I've been preaching, Luke and Acts is kind of like a part one, part two. It's written by, both Luke and Acts is written by Luke for the same person. It's his research paper. It's his report to his friend Theophilus about Jesus and this community that came out from Jesus coming here, from Jesus arriving. So we're gonna go take a detour real quick. Let's read Acts chapter 2. We're gonna begin at verse 42 up until 47. If you folks have your Bibles, you know, open there with me. If you folks use an app, you know, go ahead and open that. Just make sure, it's funny, because like on the Bible app, I think when you open it, and if you haven't opened it in a while, it tells you, "Cling, you haven't read your Bible in 90 days." So just make sure that you turn down the volume so you know. It's a little bit funny. I'm trying to make it fun, guys. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad, generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved." This is God's word. Let's pray real quick. Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross and saving us from our sins. We can only really gather because of you. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for living in us and transforming us and conforming us daily to become more like Jesus. And Father, thank you so much for bringing us together here today. We ask that as you've already prepared our hearts, that you plant a seed in there, that you may grow and bear fruit, and we may become pictures of the gospel to the watching world. We thank you, God, for this community. We honor you, Lord, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm not very good with titles, but if you're taking notes, you can just call this How the Gospel Shapes Our Community. We're going to talk about that. Or you can call this The Lord Saves Us Into a Community and Why It's Important. That's pretty much my main point. The Lord saves us into a community and why it's important. As you folks know, we just launched Pastor Rick. We as a church, we just launched this initiative, this ministry focus for this coming season. Focusing on Christ, children, and community. And so it's important that as we're launching into this new season, as we're doing more and more things, as we're having events, it's important that we look at what God shows us through His Word about these things. Today we're going to talk about community. We're going to look at, it's important that we see the text and we look at the text and we draw from it, and that we learn something about God, because God is trying to communicate who He is through His Word, right, about Himself. And then if we have time, we'll take a look at, this might become a two-part series, so the next time I preach, I hope you folks are here. I just don't have a lot of time. But we're going to take a look at what God is showing us about Himself in the text. If we have time, we'll take a look at what we should be doing and how we should be doing this. And then the second reason why this is important, and the reason why I'm preaching from this text, is because there are many sources. There's many sources out there that can shape, it can mold, it can transform our thinking and what we do and how we do community. But none are more important than God's Word. God's Word should shape us when we're thinking about what we'll be doing for the next season. It's His Word that should shape our ideas. It's what should be the foundation of why we're doing Christ Children Community. Okay? We're good?
Amen.
Yes? No? All right. So the thing is, an enormous part of, like a big part of how the Lord shapes us as individuals, as followers of Jesus, for those of you that are followers of Jesus, a huge part of how He shapes all of us is by the community that He invites us in, and the community that He adopts us in. We sometimes call it family. So you will hear me today, we're going to be flipping around community and family. But so the Lord uses community, Lord uses this family, this community of believers to invite us and to adopt us. So what's happening in the text? So in the text, what we're seeing is really simple. Let me see my notes. What it is a summary of what life was like for followers of Jesus a little bit over a month after Jesus came here, or after Jesus resurrected from the dead. That's what we're seeing in the book of Acts. Jesus is gone already. He's ascended into heaven, according to the eyewitnesses, according to Luke, according to the people that was with Jesus, according to the people that saw it happen. So Jesus is gone, and what we're seeing here is about 40 days after, a little bit over a month after Jesus has left and ascended to heaven. So why is this important? Well, back then, being a part of a community was important because, among many things, there's many reasons, but I'll give you some reasons. Being a part of a community, back then, it brings people stability and it brings them identity. It brings you stability and identity when you're a part of a community. When you're a part of a community, you tend to be safer because there's more people, right, that can protect you. When there's invaders coming in, there's your family tends to be better off because you got more resources, you got more people giving each other food, protecting each other, keeping each other safe. There's people with different skills that can help you build your home, that sort of thing. So it's safer. Your family tends to be better off, you get more resources when you're part of a community. And also, in an emotional level, in a chest level in here, it was your community that gave you a sense of identity by what you can contribute. And what I mean by that is this. So being useful is being useful in a group gives you a sense of worth, right? When you're doing something and then, you know, you're participating, it makes you feel kind of important. It makes you feel like you belong to the group. It makes you feel like, hey, you know, I'm a part of this group. I'm helping out. But the thing is, you can't be useful to a group if you're not part of a community. And so, being in a community, it allows people to contribute, and by contributing to the community, you get a sense of worth, you get a sense of identity, you get a sense of pride is, you know, another term that they use. You're just proud, you know, not in a sinful sense, but you're just proud to be a part of that community because, you know, you're contributing, you're helping out. Today, those reasons are still the same. They're still there, but it's tweaked a little bit. Today, when being a part of a community, it's not so much that you get your identity from what you contribute. Today, especially with the kids, I'm not sure with, you know, the previous generations, but today with the kids, they're super into the culture today is super into finding your identity. You know, previously, previous generations, you're super into finding your identity. You gotta find your identity. You gotta look into your heart, right? Listen to your heart when it's calling for you, right? That's the thing that's going on. If you want to know what the theme is of a generation, just look at the songs that they're singing. That's a good, like, window to the what's going on in that generation's heart. So previous generation, we got to go find our identity. We got to find our identity. This generation, not my generation, but this generation in our culture today, it's all about making up your own identity. You know, you gotta come out, right? You gotta speak your truth, right? That's the thing. You know, you have your truth. You gotta speak it. You gotta come up. You gotta make up your own identity. So a lot of people that join a community, depending on whether they join the community, depending on whether that community affirms what they believe about themselves. Everyone's kind of getting what I'm saying. So, you know, you come up with your identity and then you go out there and you find a community that will say yes, you know, you good. You know, that's kind of the thing today. Make up your identity and you find a community that will affirm you. Now, being part of a community today has a lot to do with having common interests. We used to call communities clubs. How many of you, not nightclubs, okay? I know, you know, that's a thing, not nightclubs, not discos, but, you know, clubs. There's all kinds of clubs, back then. We just called them now communities. And most people find, and what they do is they gather with other people that have the same interests. So for example, there's, if you're interested in cheese, how many of you guys like cheese? Raise your hand. I like cheese. All right, there's cheese clubs for you. There's people that are so interested in cheese that they, you know, they gather together to talk about cheese, to taste cheese, and you know, eat cheese, that kind of stuff. Now, how many of you folks like relaxing? For those that like relaxing, there's a hammock club that's available out there. The Duyan Club,
right?
A hammock club. And then for those that are, this one was interesting to me when I was looking it up. There's, if you're into like intense competition, there's also a club for, there's a rock, paper, scissors club out there. And from what I understand, it gets intense. You know, Jack and Po, rock, paper, scissors. And it gets pretty intense in those clubs. And I can imagine how it can get intense because there's a, you know, there's competition and then there's a level of getting into someone's head. You know, I've been talking to Brother Larry about, you know, bowling. You know, there's bowling clubs, there's clubs that, you know, for golfing, there's sports clubs everywhere, chess clubs, that sort of thing. So that's in real life. But today, there's even more people that, most people, they find their communities not in real life, but online. You know, they go online to find their communities. Maybe not, you know, for us older folks, maybe not our generation, but for the younger folks, you know, that's how they fellowship is online. That's why we got, you know, tons of like Facebook communities. Most common out there, we have a lot of gaming communities. If you know, hear your kids talking about like gaming and online stuff, that's a lot of that is, you know, forming communities around, you know, one particular video game. And then on this website called Reddit, you can find all kinds of communities. For example, there's a community called Animals Being Derps. So what these people do is they post, it's a community for people that post videos online of animals just doing like funny stuff and doing, you know, it's really dumb stuff that animals do, you know. So they have that community. And then like when I became a new dad with Emma, I joined an online community called New Dads. So people just come together, you know, they gather ideas about what it is being a new dad. You know, they just give each other, you know, support, you know, talk to each other. So I joined that. What does having all these communities tell us about ourselves? This tells us about ourselves that there's a deep need for us, for humans, to be a part of something. There's a deep need in us that longs for community. And I'm pretty sure the pandemic showed us that. Like me, I'm not an outdoorsy person, and I'm not a very social person, but when the pandemic hit and like you had to stay home and you couldn't see people, yeah, man, it did something. It's like, I gotta go see people, you know. I gotta go see people. So I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the reason why we have this deep need to be in community is because we are created in the image of God, who himself is in community. I'm going to explain a little bit what it means that God is in community. In Genesis 1, he says, the Bible says, God says, let us create mankind, humans. Let us create man in our image. Imago Dei, right? Remember from the previous preaching about abortion, Imago Dei. We talked about Imago Dei, and God created his image. He put his image into us, the image of God. That verse in Genesis 1, in the opening, that verse in that opening song in Genesis 1, it clues us in on this mysterious, this otherworldly, this indescribable, incomprehensible Trinitarian nature of Yahweh, of God. So in the Trinity, there's this deep fellowship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're in communion with each other. So since we are created in the image of Yahweh, in the image of God, we also have that deep desire to be a part of a community. Because the God that created us, the God that put his image on us, is a community, is a Trinitarian community. So, to summarize, because all humans are created in the image of God, we have, on one level or another, a deep desire to be a part of a group, to be a part of a community. So, in Acts, we learn that the Lord saves us to be a part of a community. The Lord saved, did you know that? That the Lord saved you to be a part of a community. The text that we read, it indicates, it implies, and it suggests that as followers of Jesus, we're added to a community with other followers of believers. And how does the text show us that? It shows us that by saying that the Lord added to their number. So it's the Lord. It's the Lord's church. So it's in his jurisdiction. It's in his sovereign power. It's in his supremacy that he can add people in his church. Because it's his church. He can add on it as much as he wants. And then in Acts 17, it actually says that on a personal level, on a one-to-one level, in Acts 17, it actually says that he's the one that determines the time and the places that he sets for you to live in. Why is that? Why does he determine the time? Like, he's actually the one that appointed you to be here right now in Hawaii, to go through life the way that you did, to live here in Hawaii. For what? It says there that God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps know him, and to add to add people into a community. And it's telling us that we are not alone, and we should not be alone. We should not be alone. So in light of this, let me ask you this. What do you think the Lord is essentially asking you to do? What is he asking you to do? And so, we see the answer in Hebrews 10. Part of the answer, because the answers are everywhere. In Hebrews 10, it tells us that we should be present and we should be involved. And it words it like this. Let us consider to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. So it tells us you need to be present and we need to be involved. So when the Lord saves us, he gives us new life, he gives us new passions, he gives us new desires, he gives us new affections, and he brings us into a new community. So some of you are sitting there, maybe a little bit bored. And some of you are sitting there thinking, okay, Noel, I get that. And I get what you're saying, but I just don't feel it. I don't feel happy. I don't feel joy. I don't even feel like being a part of this. I feel like a lot of times I'm just forcing myself to come to church. I'm just not feeling it. I don't feel like I'm a part of a Christian community. Let me encourage you by saying these things. Consider this with me, if you're feeling that way. Joy, being happy, is somehow tied with being involved. Somehow that's just how it works. our sense of belonging and our sense of joy in a community, our sense of belonging that brings feelings of joy, of happiness, of fulfillment, in terms of being a part of a community, could very well be tied to how involved you are. And so we gotta ask ourselves, how involved are you? Not necessarily just in church. I'm not just saying this is not a preaching about, oh, you gotta come attend more, or you gotta come do more, or you gotta go and put up stuff and you gotta do more. This is not a preaching about that. What this is about is, how involved are you in helping others follow Jesus, also known as discipleship? Because that's what it is in community. We got to help each other follow Jesus. That's what Jesus said. That's what he commanded us to do. We got to go help each other follow Jesus. So that's one thing. Consider how involved am I in helping others follow Jesus? That's somehow tied to my feelings of joy and fulfillment and satisfaction. From what I understand, and from what I've observed, a great thing about Christianity, the thing is with following Jesus is, it is the only religion whose main focus is not making ourselves happy. If you try to imagine all other world religions, it's about self. It really is self-centered. It's about finding yourself, finding your true self, finding your inner peace, finding all of that by doing stuff. And Christianity is the only religion that the main focus is not making myself happy, but glorifying God by making other people happy. No, you can actually glorify God by making other people happy. And so the thing is, if you're here, you're not a Christian yet, or you're kind of in between, you're not sure. The thing is, or if you're a Christian already, this could apply too. It's never going to work for you. You're never going to feel joy. We're never going to feel happiness in this community that we have if we're still going to be focused on self rather than others. It's just never going to work because it's not designed that way. Joy, to find ultimate joy, it's not designed to be self-centered. Everyone's getting what I'm saying? So, thing is too, here's not what I'm not saying that it's a sin to seek happiness. That's not what I'm saying either. I want you to be happy. Like, seriously, I want everyone here to be happy. I want you folks to be so happy that you're inviting people with you to be happy with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know when you get so joyful about something that you just can't help but tell other people about it? You get so joyful about food that you gotta tell me that, oh man, you gotta go try this, Or I get so joyful about something, I gotta go tell you about this, So I'm not saying that it's a sin to seek happiness for yourself, but what I'm saying is this, that there's a greater way to find happiness than trying to make yourself happy. There's a more superior way to find joy than focusing on yourself. And the Christian teaching says that on making others happy, you become, check this out, this is deep, yo. Check this out. On making others happy, you become infinitely happier than if you focus on yourself. Sometimes during Christmas, by the way, Christmas is coming up, you guys. Sometimes during Christmas, don't you feel happier when you're the one giving gifts rather than receiving? Think about that a little bit. Maybe some of you are happier when you receive gifts. I'm happy when I receive gifts. But there's something about, that's why, I think that's part of why, we have people here just giving us food because it makes them happy. There's a thing about, there's like,
I walked outside and it looked like a market right over there, because there's like vegetables and food that you can just go grab, because, you know, whoever brought that in, thank you so much. You know, it brings them joy. It brings you joy to make other people have to give. It brings you joy. So, Virgin Teaching says, you become infinitely happier when you make other people happy and you don't focus on yourself. Now, why is that? Because the focus of Christianity is on the happiest person whoever and will ever be. It's not on yourself. The focus of the Christian community is not me. It's not a per. It's not me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not you. It's not me. The focus of the Christianity is on the happiest person whoever and will ever live. Now, who's that? Who's the happiest person that will ever live? Or who has lived and ever will live? Who do you think it is? Jesus. Peter Jonah was right. Jesus is the happiest person that ever... How did he become the happiest person that ever lived? He has to be the happiest person that ever lived, right? I mean, I know he is... All, you know, I always preach on this during a Good Friday. He's a man of sorrow, but at the same time, he is the happiest person that ever lived. In Hebrews 12, it says that by enduring the cross, by giving himself up as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, he received ultimate joy. Now, here's another thing to consider. Christianity has a huge emphasis on unity. Okay, so we have not focusing on yourself, and we have a focus on an emphasis on unity. We're gonna end on this one. So being united is a massive part of being in community, huge part, and it plays a big part in people's joy. It plays a big part in the morale of the group when there's unity. So let me put it this way. You ever been to a party? Okay, party season's coming up. Oh my gosh, it started. I felt like it started yesterday. We had to go to like 2-3 parties yesterday. Some of you folks had to go to that. Oh my gosh, it's happening, guys. It's coming up. Party season is here. So, but have you ever been to a party where everyone's just having fun, right? Everyone's like, you know, having fun, singing karaoke, you know, drinking, and you know, having pinapaita. You know, you're eating all that good food, and then all of a sudden, Mr. and Miss KJ walks in. Mr. Miss Killjoy walks in, and then you feel like the Holy Spirit just leaves the place. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I think like, oh boy, I hope I'm not that guy. I hope I'm not Mr. or Miss Killjoy, that when you walk in, the Holy Spirit just leaves the place. But you know what I'm saying when I say that? Or put it another way. The reason why, so that's in a macro level. The reason why planets are not aligned, the planets are not bumping on each other. The reason why... you know, we're not being destroyed by, you know, planets bumping on each other is because somehow they decided that the sun is the center and everyone's revolving around the sun. You know, Saturn is not fighting against the sun for dominance. You know, Earth is not trying to be the center. They just all decided, okay, the sun is the center of the universe and we're going to go revolve around it. There's unity in that. So, it will never work if the center of your focus is not on the one thing that everyone else is focused on, which is Jesus. So it'll never work if you're focusing on yourself. It'll never work if you're not focusing on Jesus. So the text indicates that followers of Jesus are united by a common devotion, common passion, common dedication. So maybe, just maybe, the reason why you're not happy is because you're not in unity with the rest of the community, with the rest of the followers of Jesus. Maybe you're not one with the common devotion and the common passion and common dedication of people to Jesus. And so I gotta tell you this. I gotta tell you what God did through Jesus, because it's so counterculture today. It's very counterculture then, it's counterculture today. What Jesus did in gathering people. So back then, communities gathered according to like their gender, their wealth, their social status, their ethnicity. Men would gather with men, women gathered with women. The rich, they would fellowship with other rich people. The poor, they were together. The Jews never mingled with the Gentiles. The Jews never had dinner with the Gentiles. They only had, you know, food and fellowship with other Jews, etc., etc. So in other words, people gathered with others who looked like them. And the church, the community of Jesus followers back then, was revolutionary because it put one community of people and one community different communities of people, all ethnic backgrounds, race, gender, and social economic status, the church, Jesus put them together in one roof, in one community. What Jesus did, what the gospel did, is it gathered men and women equal together, rich and poor equal together, slaves and masters. Boy, that was a big thing. If you read the book of Philemon, that was a big thing. Slaves and masters being together in church was a big thing. Jew and Gentile was a big thing, just fellowshipping together. And this was unheard of. Never seen this before, ever happened. You know, people, different people from different social classes, different races coming together as brothers and sisters was unheard of. It was counterculture. And so Jesus gathered to himself all people because, why? Why did Jesus do that? He did that because all people need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And the gospel message tells us that we need him. We need Jesus. That there's a sin problem. There's sin in us. There's chaos in us that it makes us want to be alone. It makes you want to not fellowship with other believers if you're a fellow follower of Jesus. It makes you not want to come to church. There's sin in there. And the thing is, sin grows in being alone. Sin grows in isolation. And people don't grow, they don't thrive, we don't flourish alone. Again, the pandemic showed that to us. It exposed that to us, that we cannot be alone. If Jesus is who he says he is, guys, if Jesus is who he says he is, if he is the way, if he is the truth, if he is the life, then we need him. We need Jesus. And that's the gospel message. And from that flows this. This is where this comes from. If Jesus is who he says he is, if he is the way, if he is the truth, if he is life, then we need to be surrounded by people who will point us to Jesus. We need to be around people that will point us to the way, that will point us to the truth, that will point us to the life. We need to be a part of a community that points us to Jesus. So, we've established that we all need to be a part of a community, that there's a level of desire that we all have that is hungry for community, that in one way or another, we are a part of some kind of community. Now, think about this. What we need to think about, the community that we're in, or like the whoever we hang out with, or our choice of community, our community will either help us flourish, or it will poison us to wither and die. Or, much worse, it will make you think that you're flourishing, but in reality, it's actually making you wither and die. So, how do we know if the community and the people that we are with are actually there for our flourishing? How do we know that? How do you know that the group that you're with will actually help you flourish as a human being? How do you know that the group that you're that you thrive to be with, that you call a community, is looking out for what's best for you? You only have to answer this one question. Is my community pointing me to Jesus and helping me follow him? Okay, if Jesus is who he says he is, the way, the truth, the life, is my community pointing me to Jesus and helping me follow him? Because we can join all kinds of communities, we can be a part of all kinds of communities, but will the community that you identify with push you, or will it encourage you, or will it pray for you and help you flourish by helping you follow Jesus? So put it this way. We just lost Tito Oscar. Tito Oscar has been a faithful follower of Jesus and a faithful part of this community. When he passed away, that day, a lot of our family members are part of this church. I look around, it's like majority of us are related to each other. Because we're all followers of Jesus, they all went there and they gathered around him, and they sang songs to him, for him, with him, to Jesus. They prayed for him, during that time. They prayed for his family. They were just all there. These Jesus followers, this community of Jesus followers, just went there and prayed and, sang. So, put it this way. Will your community be able to gather around and surround you on your deathbed and pray for you and sing hymns for you and help you step from this reality to the next reality, from this world into eternity? Will your community help you with that? And put it another way. Put it this way. 100,000 years from now, will you be with Jesus, or will you be closer to God if you stayed with the community that you are in right now? So if Jesus is who he says he is, and if we really need Jesus, will your community push you toward Jesus or away from him? Now, if you're already in that community and you're being involved and you're being a part of it, that's great and that's awesome. If you're already in a community of Jesus followers, I'd like to encourage you to continue to be present. Yes, this is that part where I actually tell you, yes, you actually need to be here to be a part of a community. You need to be continue to attend as much as you can. Remember about the writer of Hebrews and what he says, do not neglect meeting together. We need to continue to be involved the best that we can. We need to continue to be united in helping each other follow Jesus. We need to eat together. We need to pray together. We need to pray for each other. We need to work together, and we need to play together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of events coming up in the next few weeks, in the next few months. I'm excited about it, but what I'm more excited for is that I get to see you folks there. And I get to see you folks there. That's what I'm most excited for, is that I'll get to fellowship with you guys. Seeing your face, just put it this way, seeing your faces encourages me. And it encourages a lot of people. And I want to show you this picture. I don't know if they're back there. Let me show you that picture. That's a community back then. You know what I'm doing, right? I'm trying to tug into your hearts is what I'm doing. I'm trying to be nostalgic for you guys. We're going to, later on, I'm going to ask Royden to just put it up there so you guys can go closer and look for yourselves and look at people. This is, I'm surprised because we were so big back then. That's regular, normal Sundays. You get that, right? You get what I'm getting at, right? That's regular, normal Sundays, okay? That's not like an anniversary. That's not a thing,
That's not like a special event. That's a regular, normal Sunday. That's how our community used to look like. Okay? So I'm going to ask Royden to just put that up. You know, later on you guys can come. So what I was going to tell you guys, I was surprised to see Sheldon over here. What I was even more surprised is Royden is not there. I think this was before Royden. This was way before Royden. So here's how we'll end the service. We'll pray. We're gonna pray. I want you folks to think about the people that are not just here on the picture. I want you folks to think about the people that are around us and the people in your life that need Jesus, that need to be part of our community, okay? And then we're gonna sing some songs, and then we'll put the picture back up and you guys can come up and you guys can find yourselves and look at stuff. Look at Jeff! Jeff is down there, yo! And Sheldon only had Kayla then. But anyway, let's bow our heads and pray. We're taking too long already. Lord, we thank you so much for today. We ask that we remember all these people that are in community with us and even those that are not here. Lord, we just simply ask that you would stir in our hearts the need to be together, Lord, so that we can attract other people and so that you can add more to our numbers, Lord. Lord, we're asking for your blessing. Yeah, we're asking for salvation for our friends and family that are not here, Lord. We honor you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.